Who's that lady that wouldn't get off the back of the bus?
Your mom.
Uh-huh. That's my mom.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the award-winning Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the inner tubes, and from our other hit podcast, Skeptically Yours. You can find links to our guest's website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium ad-free 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in a live chat moderated by the author of the fabulous blog, Comedy Obscura, Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, write a review, help us get up there in the top 10 where you've never put us. You may also go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now before you die.
You're always threatening the listener.
It's not me this time.
Of course it's you.
No, didn't you hear? October 7th just may be the apocalypse again.
Oh, no, not again.
Yep, so our listeners better subscribe before it's too late.
You know, it's not really going to be the end of the world, right? You do know that.
Stop tattling on me, or it's going to be the end of your world. We only have two rules in the show. Rule number one, guests may plug anything they want. We're not hypocrites, so subscribe. Shut up. Shut your face.
Rule number two, if you're a listener who's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer, destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content, and certainly has nothing for you,
apocalyptic cunts.
We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Rob Elk, Faraz Ozel.
Ozel.
Knew I was going to fuck it up. And Alan M. Gold, friend to Heather for years on Facebook. Yeah, you know these guys from Showbiz.
So Emery always fucks up people's names. I'm just telling you now.
Ozel. I'll get it right from now on every time.
And he says that every time.
I will not mess it up.
He says it every time.
Damn it.
It was close enough. I've had it butchered much worse.
Yeah.
So. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool. We need to write a song about him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
You know Venkataramanujam?
Prashanth
the comic.
Prashanth
Venkataramanujam? We presume all brown comics know each
other.
Yeah,
we just don't. Nope, don't know. We might even be related, but I don't know.
Prashanth, he comes to L.A. a lot. And,
okay.
It's Venkataramanujam is his last name. Uh-huh. And fuck anyone who can't say it right. Are you nuts?
So simple.
So we actually, I actually created an intro song for him so I wouldn't fuck it up.
Yeah, he walked around the house all day going, Venkataramanujam. And then we had a friend who was staying with us, Shelley Siegel, who's a great singer. She's also an atheist. He said, let's make a song. And so we sat around like 3 in the morning trying to write a song about it so we would remember his name for the next day. And it worked.
It worked great.
It worked great. So now we have to.
I can say it now forever.
Was it a folk song or was it one of your hip hop ballads?
It was totally a rap.
Right.
Someone pointed out once that it was a ripoff of. The melody was very familiar to someone, and I was like, oh, yeah, that
really?
Is what we did. Yeah.
We plagiarized.
Someone nailed you on hacking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Shelley just gave us a simple little riff, but it was something that you could recognize from something else.
Know.
I don't think she meant to rip it off.
Right on.
So, yeah.
Well, you got my name right, so you must have been singing my name all day.
Damn right, Rope.
Right, yeah.
All right.
He's a running elk. That's your name.
The running elk, yes.
The running elk.
Hey, did we ever ask how you got the Indian name?
No.
I didn't, did I?
You didn't on this show.
Feathers Indian, not turban Indian.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
I was also trying to figure that out. I was like, that's an Indian name?
No.
I know, you were looking at him.
It's an Indian reference.
Right.
There's no Indian blood inside me, though I wish there was. When I was a kid, I always wanted
to be part
Indian.
There's a little blood in you. We fucked the Indians really good a long time ago.
Well, possibly.
Yeah.
My folks come from Sweden, though.
Probably not then.
Yeah.
And how'd you pick it up? How'd you end up with running out?
Oh, there was a guy I worked with years ago, like 30 years ago, at this newspaper, the St. Paul Pioneer Press. There was a guy in our where we worked who was a little funny in the head, and he would... He liked pro wrestling, and he liked to sing songs about people and make up names about people. And there was that song, Running Bear. You remember that old song?
No.
Running Bear. Love's Little White Dove or something.
Oh,
like
wow,
that.
Sure.
Remember that one?
It goes way back, yeah.
And
the
he
60s.
Called me a running nookie.
It's stuck.
Yeah. And Penn, every time you walk in the house, Penn says that.
Yeah.
Running elk.
And he would go, what do you think of that? What do you think of the running elk?
Yeah. Rob plays also in the No God Band with Heather as well.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Occasionally, so,
yes.
Yes. I didn't play this year.
Not this year, but no. The last 2 years before that, right? Awesome. I like it when you're there.
It's fun.
It is fun.
I have a question of Faraz.
What's up?
It's always interested me about the Muslims that come and become ex-Muslims. What is the story that you have there?
Well, for me, it's like, I don't really know the specific, maybe you guys can help, the specific difference between agnostic or atheist.
Uh-huh.
For some reason, I think I lean more agnostic because I just don't have a exact idea of what anything is. I think what I don't like is any sort of final specific answer about what everything is or what it was or the dogma or anything like that. So I followed everything, you know, by the book till I was about 20, 21 probably. And then I started to feel like I was doing it more as an insurance policy more than anything else. Like, well, if there is a hell, then I should just do it so I don't burn forever. And if there isn't one, then I'll just be a good person at least. But, you know, after you get to 21, 22, it just started to be like, you know, in my core, I just felt like I don't really believe in all the specifics of all this stuff, or you know what I mean, just whatever. So now I just think whatever you need to do to make you a great good person and feel connected to other people around you and live well, that's what you should be doing, and whatever you need to do to get there.
And why do you call yourself agnostic? Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Why do you call yourself agnostic?
Because of to my understanding of atheist is a more, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, because I really, this is what I'm asking, is a more,
you're wrong.
Okay. Now let's go back, like Memento. so I'm like, if there's a more final answer, and if you're more scientifically, like, there definitely is no, is there spirituality involved in it? Is there any concept of any sort of other energy or, like, anything else happening besides what we are seeing or perceiving precisely and distinctly? You know what I mean? So that's my thing. Is that,
well, agnosticism and atheism are actually really simple definitions, and mm-hmm. one leads is about belief. Uh-huh. And one is knowledge. So mm-hmm. when you're an atheist, you don't believe that there's a God.
Right.
When you're agnostic, you tend to say, I don't know either way. So
right.
it's kind of like mm-hmm. you're not claiming the knowledge that there is no God.
The agnostic position by the book.
Yes.
And this is where it gets funky, you know, mm-hmm. because there are atheists out there, very few, but mm-hmm. some very few, very, 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 very few, who say there's no God. No way there's no God. There's no fucking way. No God. Fuck mm-hmm. you.
I know there's no God.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm positive there's no God.
Right.
That's a rare animal.
And
it's
that's
really
usually
rare,
just
but most
people,
think yeah,
right.
I mean,
yeah, I know a couple
there,
people like that.
Yeah, there are people who just like to rub people and that's what they
right.
do. The by the book atheist, in other words, the guy who cares about semantics of language
right.
and the importance of it, says that I'm an atheist because I'm absent any theism.
Mm-hmm.
That's the literal interpretation of the phrase. Of
okay.
The word. An agnostic is a really slippery animal a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Agnostics oftentimes. I once wrote a joke that agnostics are just atheists who don't like to argue.
Interesting.
And
that's a good one.
Isn't it nice?
Yeah.
Nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've dated some agnostics, people who call themselves agnostics, and, mm-hmm. and oftentimes one of the more common themes is since they see it as taking the position that says we can't know the answer to this.
Right. That's where I'm at.
That's the simplistic.
Just probability mathematically, like you can't prove not. Like, you know what I mean? Unless there's 100% proof that there isn't anything, then there can even be a 1% chance that it is something.
Right,
you know
right.
what I mean?
What so percent do you give the possibility that there is
Santa Claus?
Well, let's go with Santa Claus, I
yeah.
guess. That's fine. What
yeah.
percentage do you, possibility do you think Santa Claus exists?
Oy. The
is it 1%?
No.
Is
it zero?
It'd be like point. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Do, would,
you
I
give
would
a
say
point?
Zero. No, I'd say zero. I would say 0%.
Zero is
I
correct.
Santa Claus.
Correct
zero.
Answer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Now let's replace that Santa Claus with God.
Right. Well, here's
same
the thing.
Thing. Made up by my mammals.
But the concept of... But see, this is the thing. When someone says God, I mean, I don't think there's a guy in the sky that's doing some shit that's recording angels on your left and your right, and you're going to go up in a place of sunshine and butterflies and milk and honey
what
or
do
hell.
You think you know might
what there's not?
Right. What I'm saying is, what they're... I'm basically... What I'm saying is, like you said, I don't know enough to know what exactly I think it is, but there is a chance that it could... There could just be something else happening than just this dimension.
What percentage would you say there might be a God? Since we're doing this thing.
Right, right.
Is it okay to do that? Is that
that's fine, but at first I want to make sure it's clear what my concept of God is. So I want to make sure, even like calling it God, you know, there's a lot of stuff in here that says like, no God, this and that. And I understand if you're talking about, like you said, no theism, do you're talking about the dogmatic sort of, you know,
as explained in the
of what God
Bible
is?
Or Quran.
Right, that type of God with all those rules.
I'm
I would
assuming
say,
you
yeah.
dismiss all those.
Yeah.
Let's go with this then.
Right. I don't think there's anyone has it right that this is exactly what it is and this is how he judges you. Like yeah. that, I don't think. Yeah.
So then, right, for the sake of this discussion, we'll go to Spinoza's God. Any
nature
idea what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you're talking about naturalism.
Yeah. The idea that all of this might have been put in motion by some being that doesn't have any involvement
right.
in it.
Yeah. I think that's just as likely as nothing. There's nothing watching us at all.
Based
you know
on
what, I mean?
What? Yeah, no. I got you.
Yeah.
And boy, I hope it doesn't feel like I'm grilling you because I love this. I love this.
No, this is great. This is. I know where I'm at.
So based. yeah. Right. So what percentage based? We now know we're talking about Spinoza's God. We'll say for
right.
discussion's sake, a hands-off creator perhaps exists.
Somewhere. Right.
Based on that, what percentage of odds do you give that of existing? Earlier you said just as likely as no God,
right.
which is a 50-50 if I were to break it down literally. Do you really think it's 50-50?
But it's not 50-50 because it could be a bunch of other infinitely many possibilities. You know what I mean? Like it could be, I'm not saying it's either Spinoza or it's nothing at all. It could be something else too that I don't really know about. Like it's hard for me to put into words because a part of me also believes in the concept of, you know, if you do believe that something exists outside of our realm that made all this happen, it could be the equivalent of aliens on some other dimension that spit a loogie and we all spawned like a like a bacteria inside a petri dish, and it could be just that. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
but
there's just
I don't think we even necessarily have the abilities within the physics of our realm or our universe to be able to even conceptualize what the fuck is actually happening here.
I think we have amazing abilities to conceptualize.
Yeah,
I'm always struck. Irritated when I'm watching a TV show that talks about the billions and billions and billions of stars and all of that and how it's hard to
conceive
to even perceive what they're talking about. I
think
it's bullshit. I think we can perceive that. And I'm tired of people telling us not that we can't. That shit's weird to me.
Right.
But let me take you to this then.
Okay.
If we terraformed Mars and we, on purpose, flew a mission there and put bacteria that we thought would be the best possible bacteria to put there that might eventually evolve
into... Even by accident.
Well, I'm saying on purpose for this, for the sake of this example.
Okay.
We on purpose put it there.
Right.
And then we're fortunate enough as a species to survive 3 million years.
Right.
So we can watch the process from afar, and we'll become better and better at being able to watch this stuff.
Right.
We might even put satellites right over the Mars we've terraformed, right?
Right.
So we've terraformed it. We've put life there in the best possible scenario, and now we're watching it evolve.
Uh-huh.
You would presume it would evolve too, right? I mean, you.
Sure.
So we watch this process, and we're fortunate enough to actually map the process for 4 million years.
Mm-hmm.
At what point are we gods in that equation? Let's say it evolves all the way up to a bipedal animal that creates typewriters of some sort. Let's say it does that. At what point did we become gods of any kind? And what kind of god is that?
I don't think we are gods.
You're exactly right, we're not.
Yeah,
gods.
We're scientists.
And if one person on our planet 3 million years later says, you know, we really need to take a book down there and tell those cunts what to do.
Right.
That guy needs to be put in prison because we're not fucking gods.
Right.
My point is, we could do this. This is conceivable, in my opinion. And I think you can conceive of that possibly coming to pass based on what I described to you, your ability to process information and ideas. I think you can conceive that that could happen. That's not a god.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
So but to me, Spinoza's God, if it exists, is not a God.
Right. It's more of a, like, he's natural. It's naturalism. So it's more of a oneness kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, everything, It's so, not like, that's what I'm saying, is I think first of all you have to decide what's your concept of God, and mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And when you say there is no God or there is,
well, that's
there
where I get kind of bristly when people start to go, you did it earlier a little bit when you said a God with a beard sitting judging and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that kind of God.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's like, what kind of limbo are we going to play here? Because right, that right. is what God is.
Right.
Everything else is not God. All of the other possible right. things you could posit beyond.
Well, are you talking creator? Are you saying creator? You know, not God meaning creative.
Right,
creator,
right. I think I don't have a word for just the concept of it. It gets sounding so hippy dippy if you get into like spirituality yeah. or like new age.
I call
age
it pothead spirituality.
Pothead spirituality. Mushroom's a better word.
Rob,
that would be like an enabler, maybe.
Oh, an enabler.
Creator.
I see. Yeah. I see. An enabler. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, just, it's like, so no God in the sense of somebody who's, like you said, had a purpose watching everything, judging everything, right, right. And that kind of shit.
Right.
Yeah. And Marie, here, I've been in so many discussions covering probably thousands of hours, would not be an exaggeration, with people about this. And it all boils, if you go far enough back, it boils to what is the origin of the universe
yeah.
as we know
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
And I can't answer it. The Big Bang, yeah, that's true. But before the Big Bang, it could be just the explosion of a white worm that came from another thing. I believe, now this is, I have to believe this because there's no way of proving, that there are an infinite number of universes and an infinite number of dimensions. And no one knows when they started or when they'll end. That's what I can't answer.
You know, I always have trouble with infinite. The reason I do is because, historically speaking, as science has unfurled our understanding of our universe, every time we find out more, infinite disappears and a good explanation emerges. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
we used to think, for example, that the sea was infinite. They would look out at the sea and they thought that
the
it
land
just,
was infinite.
Yeah, that the land was infinite. Before they really had a good full understanding of the circular spherical nature of the world, that was infinite, and the sky was infinite, and all of these things. But every time we gain the ability to measure something, it's no longer infinite. And so it stands to reason to me that infinite isn't a realistic. Massive, unbelievably immense, I'm okay with.
Well, let's take a circle.
Bugs me.
Take
well,
a circle.
A
is there an end point to a circle?
I just wanted to mention that the end of the world is coming, so it doesn't fucking matter at all. October 7th is
October
going to be 7th. The end of the world again.
October
so.
Again.
Who's saying this?
Well, we have to take a break, but we can come back and talk about
that.
Suspense
is killing me.
All right, I'll take a break if I have to take a break. Fine, if you want to be that way. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ArdentAtheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable interruption.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the Vile comedy album, Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Go to gumroad.com/Emery. That's G-U-M as in Mr. Roboto. Tomo! ROAD.com/Emery and buy the damn thing.
I don't want to sound like I'm bragging or anything, but this is the fifth end of the world I've survived.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids, remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll come. And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Rob Elk.
Hey.
Faraz Ozel.
Nailed it.
I know, right?
Hmm.
And Alan M. Gold. Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's the hard one.
Alan M. Gold. Thanks for being here, Alan.
Sure thing. My pleasure.
We were talking about infinity during the break. And, it's...
Seemed like infinity.
Yeah. Let me change the subject for a minute, since you said we can talk about anything, right?
Anything you want, man.
Okay. I was fascinated to see Heather as a teenager dancing on one of the dance shows.
Yeah.
That was beautiful, Heather.
Wasn't that great?
Heather, can you tell us a little bit about your early journey, your early life?
On the Dance Party USA?
Everything, yeah.
When I was 16, my middle school took a class trip to a little TV station in Philadelphia to be on a teen dance show. And I learned quickly while I was there that you didn't have to pay to be on the show. They didn't pay you to be on the show. What you did was sign up for tickets, and then you could go on either a Saturday, a Sunday, or both, and just go be on the show. So I said, hey, I really like this. I want to come back. That's not from the dance show.
Oh, no.
That's
my, I know. This
oh,
is
Jesus
your
Christ.
What?
That's not even the music video,
oh,
baby.
Oh, the music video. All right,
So he's trying to embarrass me. So I just kept going back, and I kept asking the producers if I could come back every weekend. And they taped from Saturdays and Sundays from like 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. So they taped about five shows a day, and out 5 one-hour shows. And so I just kept going back, and then I became a regular and just became known. I made up a stupid stage name, Baby Heather, and wore cool clothes that I thought were cool and danced.
Yeah, right.
I learned how to dance on that show. I didn't know how to dance. I had no rhythm, but I...
How did
just,
you not know how to dance?
I just didn't.
You should have been able to at least dance half well.
She did.
I watched.
Excellent.
Hey, if you want to see something good, go to my profile and go to my videos, babe.
All right.
Bib. Go to my profile, bib.
So I
just kept going. And then eventually, I was there for 3 years. I was there underage. I was there when I was 16. And then I turned 17, and 17 was the age you could actually legally be on the show. Eventually the host quit, and they couldn't find other hosts, and somebody had the bright idea of asking if the kids wanted to host the show. So I became one of the co-hosts of...
Wow, that's a fuck you to the host that walked out, isn't it?
Yeah. And then I got paid to
fill your job, dickhead.
Yeah,
that's
I got
really
paid
great.
To
that's
be a co-host.
Yeah, yeah.
For the show.
When did you find out you could sing?
I started singing when I was 7 years old. My father was a street singer, so he would take me with him busking on the streets of Philadelphia on South Street. And so we would sing things like Row, Row, Row Your Boat and On Top of Spaghetti and stuff like that. And I would just go sing with him. So I started very young.
When did you come to California?
5 years ago. It's been 5 years.
Never mind.
And I lived in Camden, New Jersey most of my life, moved to Philly for 5 years, and then came here. Okay. I've not really lived anywhere else.
At what point did you decide to become an atheist?
6 years ago, I became an atheist.
Was it because of a certain event or because?
I had quit going to church after I was old enough to say, "Mom, I'm not going." And I wasn't an atheist at the time. I didn't even know what an atheist was. I just figured I didn't really believe, but I was spiritual. I wasn't sure. Didn't think about it. Wasn't a part of my thing. I just know that I watched my mom give preachers money on TV, and it was awful, and she was always crying and miserable and always praying, and I thought, this is stupid. I don't understand this. And she was still miserable, even after praying to God. And then in 2001, I think part of it hit me when I had cancer, and 9/11, it happened at the exact same time. And I was like, okay, this there's no God here. There's no God who would have let
you
my mom...
You were just angry at God.
I was. Let my mom die when I was 23. Give me cancer when I was, I guess, 26 at that time. And then... no, I'm sorry. I was in my 30s. And then kill all those people during 9/11. And then I eventually moved to Philadelphia. Saw the movie Zeitgeist, which is a horrible movie. It's filled with inconsistencies and horrible things, lies and untruths.
But
I saw the very first portion of the movie, which was the Jesus story, where it talked about Jesus, the Jesus story,
the myth, right,
and all the other gods that had the same exact myth story. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa.
It's highly entertaining.
It was highly entertaining, even though some of the, you know,
You got to take it with
wrong.
A huge rock of salt.
Yeah,
but there's some things that you take in and you're like, holy shit, I didn't know that.
It made me go look it up. Right. Made me go research and go, oh my freaking God, this is just ridiculous. And then like a bomb exploded in my head and I was like, I've been lied to my entire life. And then I felt so strongly about, you know, being lied to, that I felt like I have to tell everybody and I have to make sure this doesn't happen to anybody else. And I became an ardent atheist like at that point. And I annoyed the shit out of people. People were like, why are you doing this? Why are you talking about God so much?
I'm right.
I still do.
So I have a question for you and you guys all. So do you think that Jesus was a person that existed, or he didn't exist at all, or he existed but he was just preaching?
What do you guys
think?
Can I just say, I don't think he was a real person.
You don't think it's just a myth that's evolved?
I think it's just a myth, but go ahead, Emery.
I think there's a 1% chance he existed.
Okay.
Here's my honest response to that.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter is my first response.
Yeah.
Not in any way, shape, or form whether he existed or not. But I don't want to skirt your question. I want to be very, very candid.
Right.
I think it's more likely than not that he was an amalgamation of a whole bunch of other possibly made up, possibly really existing people who made claims to heavenly information. So that's it.
You know what gets confusing for me is like when I try to, because I like history a lot, and when you go back and you think about the further back you go into history, then it gets all muddled with religious stories. And I get really confused sometimes because I'm like, wait, so what? Is this what happened, or like, you know what I mean? Like, where does, so that's why people are like, no, that actually happened. Jesus was a person, this and that, whether you believe he was some
John. During that period, there were no historical references for a guy who's supposed to be the revolutionary son of God. No historians even mentioned him for the next 300 years. It's for the next couple hundred years. And then it wasn't until 100 years after that they really started to put down stuff, and then they decided which one should go in and shouldn't go in, and...
Yeah, the Bible is...
From a historical standpoint, it's near impossible to find out.
Yeah, okay. The Bible...
From a historical standpoint, we can find out that it's most likely Muhammad existed.
Right.
The Bible now doesn't even look like it used to look. I mean, stuff has been taken out and put back in, and it's been rearranged and changed around and interpreted and reinterpreted and made different versions, and then sects are different, and it's ridiculous.
I love the stories about how Jesus became more and more white and blonde.
Oh,
yes.
White
Jesus.
He could not have been the person that's hanging on grandparents' walls today.
Right.
There's no possible way that thing ever existed.
And it's more tragic to me because that's what most black people grew up with, white Jesus hanging on the wall.
Wait a minute.
But now they got a Comedy Central show.
Yes. So I watched
that show.
It's all
taken care of.
So Michael Jackson was Jesus.
Yeah, no.
I mean, he became more white over time.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah, that's true. Oh, my God. Light bulb.
Right.
What am I listening to?
I don't know.
Oh, this
honey.
Is funny. We were working today on A Year Without God, and we went to look up Julia Sweeney because one of my producers did not know who Julia Sweeney was.
Mm.
And I said, Pat from SNL. Yeah, I don't. Oh, I forgot. You're a child. And an ex-Christian. Yeah, I have to be understanding.
Yeah.
So I went and pulled up Pat so I could.
They didn't watch that stuff. They were total, you know, hidden from the world.
I did very much want to pull this up. Just to
I have Dawn Moak in here. She can spin the barrel. Oh, wow. Pick out
this
a winner.
This is Heather as baby Heather.
And she's spinning the barrel.
And she's hosting Dance Party USA.
And the winner is Cindy Williams from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. All right. Okay.
Now, I love the idea that one day somebody might be sitting around going, what do you think the odds Heather Henderson existed?
Well, they have proof.
As long as this lasts.
As long as we got YouTube.
As long as you can go to YouTube.
Well, in 1,000 years, may be no record.
I wish there was no record. People are going to find all the shit I've done. It's going to be a mess.
I just embrace it.
What do you think? Do you think Jesus existed?
I don't. I don't think so.
Ah, that's why you asked.
Yeah, but then I was talking to one of my friends about it, and they were like, they're also like agnostic-y types, and some of them were on the fence that they're like, no, man, like historically he did, like if there's this and that records, what do you believe, whether you believe he was...
Those are forgeries.
Whether you believe he was magical
or not. No records.
There's no record to prove he existed.
All right, because that's
the Bible is not any kind of an accurate record of information.
Right, one of them is saying there was some historians that did.
Those have been proven to be false.
It's every time someone posits that, it's proven to be bullshit. Every single time. It doesn't exist right now.
That's what I always thought. I always thought he was a historical figure, so I'm wrong, too.
Really?
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I
like an exaggerated historical
figure.
Yeah,
I thought there is no God, but there was
Now, when it
Jesus.
Comes to discussing the topic, a lot of atheists will tell you that's a rabbit hole you don't want to go. When gays being married, people spun their wheels for years talking about whether or not it was genetic, whether or not, you know, all of these other surface ideas. And really, what it comes down to, the only thing that ever swayed Bill O'Reilly on this subject was the one thing everyone should have been focusing on. Are we not free? That's the real discussion there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And wasting your time over whether it's nurture versus nature is a fool's errand. It's a complete smokescreen, and it cost the gay rights movement, I think, probably dozens of years. In the same sense, arguing over whether Jesus existed or not is an absolute waste of time if one of your goals is to try to get people to look at reality. That is a non-issue in the discussion of whether or not religion, God exists, any of that is... You know.
I see in that. I think it's just relevant in terms of understanding human history.
Yeah.
You know, because like one thing, I was in Greece a while ago, and then I was at Olympus and the Parthenon and whatnot, and then the stories of how it all got built start to be like, and then Athena came down and helped build this part, or this is where this god stood. And then I just was at the point where I was like, wait, what the hell's going on? How is this place here and what actually happened there? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just really interesting when history gets muddled so much with all these
it
sort of
It sounds like the truth
stories.
Matters to you.
I mean, yeah. Just figuring stuff. I'm curious. I'm a very curious person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Should
Highly
matter.
Skeptic.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me plug in something here. Everybody should be looking forward to Reason Rally 2016.
Yeah.
I was there 4 years ago, and that was one of the best days of my entire life. I met friends from across the United States and from around the world, actually.
Yeah.
Margaret Downey and David Silverman, a lot of the leaders in the atheist field were there, and including Penn. Well, Penn couldn't make it, but he was on TV.
I edited a video for Penn. I went to the Slammer, and I shot him in a video, and we sent it off to...
They played that on the screen. But it was fantastic. Even in the rain all day, 30,000 people showed up on the mall to listen to the. And if it wasn't raining, you'd have had 100,000.
Yeah.
So this time, this is going to be the big one.
Because you mean atheists don't like rain.
You're fair weather atheists.
Water? What the hell?
I'm melting. Fair weather atheists.
This is Los Angeles, so.
No,
it's in Washington,
D.C. We don't go outside.
Yeah.
This happened in Washington, and I very much want to be there. It's definitely on the top of our list of hope we can get there.
But ApostaCon is coming up. We'll be at that.
We are going to ApostaCon.
Where's that?
That's in Dallas, Texas this year, and it's a great play on words. You know, the flying spaghetti monster, or everyone here is aware of this.
Yeah.
Are you aware of that, Rob?
No.
Yeah. Shut up, really?
No, he is. Get out of here.
Flying spaghetti monster, it marries two ideas, apostasy and pasta. Spaghetti monster.
Uh-huh.
It's a really great little play on words. But it's, you know, it's an atheist convention. It's fantastic. We're going this year. We've not been yet. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, so. And all our friends are going to be there, too. Here's a picture of a flying spaghetti monster.
Yeah, the flying spaghetti monster is a very simple idea. It's a... Do we know the origins of that particular church?
I don't know the origins.
I do.
You
okay.
do know the origins.
A fellow from Washington State, I think it was Washington State, wrote a letter to the school board of Iowa or Kansas that was having a discussion about bringing evolution out of the schools and creationism into the schools.
It was probably
in the science
Kansas.
That might
Iowa.
Be it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And he wrote this letter which said, you might as well believe in the flying spaghetti monster as believe in the Bible. And someone picked that up from the press and publicized it, and it got big response. So this fellow wrote a book, and the book became a bestseller. And he was asked to write another book. He wrote another book. And now there's worldwide following. They even have it like a religion. They have services and everything.
One of my favorite things that has come of this is as an exercise to push back against the government being particularly giving special privileges to religious people. There are people, I know of two cases where people have gone in with a colander on their head for their
driver's license
photo. and the social worker there didn't want, there are social workers, right? The government worker did not, they did not want them to do this. And so they said, you have to, it's my religion. It's lovely. It's absolutely lovely.
And did they
lovely.
Get to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In some the of them have to fight
in
sometimes.
In the end,
they
had to fight.
I'm just saying, after 5 hours in the DMV, I'm not trying to make a statement.
Get
my picture. Get me the hell out of here, dude.
You're not as committed to speaking out against bad religious ideals. That's it.
It was first described in a satirical open letter written by Bobby Henderson. Hey. In 2005.
How do we even know he existed?
To protest the Kansas State Board of Education decision to permit teaching intelligent design as an alternative to evolution in public school science class. So, yeah. And it's just taken off.
When I met both of you, we had dinner a couple years ago.
We did.
Emery and Heather.
Your daughter was there?
Yes, and my wife, too.
Okay.
And, in fact, I'm visiting her in Los Angeles. She just had a baby a couple months ago. Rachel had a little daughter.
Oh, cool.
And anyway, I had mentioned to you that I had written a book, Taking Off on the Flying Spaghetti Monster, and as a continuing, I was calling it the Last Will and Testament of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
Yes.
But it turns out that you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to play. And they wouldn't give me permission to do it. So I'm going to try to change all the wording and make it a completely different thing.
So the guy that stole it from Bobby Henderson doesn't want you to do it.
Well, no one stole it. Bobby Henderson did it himself.
Oh, it's him. Okay.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Cool.
But
it's a church. It's a real church, and just like the United
just
Church
like,
of Bacon,
yeah. We're involved with the United Church of Bacon is a church we're very.
I prefer bacon
involved.
Over spaghetti anyway.
Well,
bacon
I gotta be honest. Yeah, I think bacon makes spaghetti better.
Yeah, bacon makes everything better.
Your carbonara, pasta carbonara.
Yeah,
that's right. That's where it's at.
Yeah.
So you wrote the book or no? You didn't write
the
book.
Yeah, I did write it.
Oh,
and
no.
It's
what a shame.
I'm just going to have to change a lot of the wording, make it a god, another edible product, and a lot of the different followers, different
can
names,
you just
other
do a,
pastafarians.
Can you just do a find and replace and put in bacon? Because we'll give you the okay to do
well,
bacon.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
I can just make that happen for you.
Do bacon. We'll do it.
Okay, well, yeah. Okay, we arrange for something here. Yeah. I'll talk to you later about that.
Okay.
Let's talk to Rob Elk because...
I'm going to break in because
okay,
we have to
ahead.
Take a break. But we will talk to Rob Elk as soon as we come back from this break. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption.
Good news, everyone.
That's right, old guy. Very good news indeed. We have a premium ad-free service. We give you the free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year as I run out of breath. We also have another option. That's the Donate More If You Want button. If you want to give us more money, we'll give away some subscriptions to the needy. We do. We continue to do. We always do. If you can't afford $10, write me an email. Let me know. So if you can afford it, please support the show. Go to www.ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe. Attention, rappers. Apocalypse rhymes with Chewbacalypse. You're welcome.
This joke
Foundation
brought to
Beyond
you by
Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids. Remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh. You'll cry. You'll come. And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Rob Elk.
Hello.
Faraz Ozel. Ozel.
Ozel.
And Alan M. Gold. God damn it.
Told you.
Thanks for being here, everybody. I appreciate it. I want to make sure that I don't know where we were. You were going to say something when we left. You were going to ask Rob a question.
Well, it's not important. I was just going to ask Rob. I talked to some other people here about their lives, and I wondered about Rob, who's been acting. I just wonder if he's in anything lately. We could look him up.
Oh, that's show's going.
That's a good question. Yeah. I'm an actor out here in L.A. I try to get jobs in television, and it's a tough business, my friend.
Yeah.
So. I had some jobs last year. I'm still waiting for one. The TV season just started, and hopefully. But I have a play that I do at the holidays every year called Bob's Holiday Office Party here in Los Angeles.
Which I have yet to see. I need to come see
it. I've seen it a couple times.
I have to come see it. We are on our 20th year.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I can't believe it. So we're getting ready to do that in December at the Pico Playhouse in Los Angeles. And we always do it between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Mm-hmm. And it's a play about, I play an insurance agent in a small town in Iowa, and I have my clients over. My clients are all a bunch of losers, and that's how it started. It's a party. So it starts out very normal, and at the end of the show, it's all hell breaks loose.
Sounds like my kind of party.
And we have our ways of digging into religion, because we have most of the characters are from the Midwest, so they're very conservative and religious, but the more they get drunk, the more all that stuff comes out.
Right. Just like a regular.
Yeah, the sheriff starts messing around with the town floozy who shows up. And
did any of the characters get exposed this year in the Ashley Madison thing? You didn't think of that.
I don't even think.
God damn it.
We might. We haven't gotten to that point yet.
Good. I hope
those
you'll do
people
that.
Don't even. I don't even know if they know what the internet is. Bob doesn't have a computer on his desk. After 20 years.
That's so great.
There's no computer.
Is Anton in this year? What's he doing?
No, he's not. He directed.
Son of a bitch.
He directed
Craig Anton.
The last 2 years, and he's doing this. You know, he's busy with his. Teaching down at Long Beach.
Number one. He's got two twin girls.
Well, they're in college.
That's
now.
A job all its own. Yeah, they're in college.
Yeah, they're off to college. Yeah. Yeah. He managed to do that.
It's amazing to me.
So
how did he do that? I toured with that guy for many years.
I know.
He's a great guy.
I could tell you about Craig Anton.
He's in Long Beach, and I saw him, and I was like, we should book him for the show again, because it's been a while.
I called him when you said yes. I let him know. Well, he called me and asked me a computer question. I said, what are you doing tonight? And he wasn't available.
No.
But I'll get him up here.
I saw him last night. I was the musical guest on the Two-Headed Dog show.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a hilarious show. These guys, I know, Jim Turner, have you had Jim Turner on the show?
Oh, many times, yeah.
Yeah. Jim Turner, Mark Veit, Dave Allen, Dave the Gruber Allen, who's known as from Freaks and Geeks and many other great projects, and Craig Anton.
Yeah. They do a great show.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little about, we're going to get to that right after this. Okay. I want to talk a little about Kim Davis is the lady who refused to give out marriage licenses of any sort so that she wouldn't be forced to put her name on a marriage license between a man and a man or a woman and a woman. Kentucky-based lady. We talked about her in the last show. And I had a friend say to me he was really bothered by just how gleefully people were calling for Kim Davis's head and how they're so inhuman the way people are reacting to this woman. And I just had to sit back in my couch and go, I think he's right. And think about, what have I done first? You know, that's the first thing you got to sort through when a good friend points out something that's kind of hard to listen to and to accept. You got to go, all right, what did I do?
You need to do something about that.
Okay, you. One of these days, Alice. And I think he meant he's going to fist her. The tone with which we're winning this is disturbing to some, including me and my friend. And I want to take this opportunity to say to the listeners, to say to the atheists that I know, to say to the people who care about representing atheists, the atheist movement, atheism in general, in a compassionate and caring way, cut it out. You know, be a little kinder. This woman is a victim of a belief system. This woman believes that she is a superhero. She believes that she is a freedom fighter. And that's important to remember when we start talking about what's going on here. And what she's doing is wrong. What she's doing is indefensible legally. It's indefensible philosophically.
And immoral.
Is it immoral?
I believe it's immoral.
Okay.
You're denying someone the same rights that other people are allowed. And they're legally allowed these rights. And you're denying them, though.
Yeah. So, and they're not going to win. Kim Davis doesn't win this. That's how this goes. When you know that you're going to win something, don't poke at people with a stick while they go down. That's what I'm trying to say. Have some fucking compassion for this woman. And part of what helps me think this way is that I wish I lived in a country where our government couldn't put us in jail for standing up for what we believe in. That's a thing that I think is globally important. I wish she didn't have to go to jail for this. Now, I know that she chose to go to jail as part of the process that she was engaging in. She knew that was the outcome for her action. So she did choose that. I'm just saying I wish that we didn't even have to go to a fucking courthouse or any government place to declare our love for somebody else. It shouldn't be a government thing. It gets a lot more muddy at that point, but that's from whence this idea that I was pushed to recognize came.
And what did Paul Provenza said? Marriage is the only contract that is
gender specific.
Yeah.
There's no other legal contract that takes into consideration the gender of the people involved.
You can buy a building with another man.
Or another woman.
And no one even thinks about it.
Yeah.
You can buy a car or sign a loan or anything with any other person of the same gender and no one bats an eye. But
men sell houses to men... That means eventually we're going to have to be able to sell a house to a dog.
No.
It's all the acting I can do.
Well, that's what it means, right?
Well,
that's what they argue.
The internet is cruel. It's filled with people sitting behind a computer who don't have to look a person directly in the eye and say, you know, horrible things to you. And
most of them are not wearing pants, I'd like to point out.
They're in their mom's basements. Yeah. It's easier to talk behind a computer scream and say horrific things to a person.
Computer
than
scream is what we should call it from now on.
Computer
I
scream.
Like that computer scream.
And nice. Say horrific things to people than it is to say it directly into their face. And it's just easier. Yeah.
It sounds like what you're saying is like you're challenging everybody to, you know, demonstrate some class with how this victory is going. Because that's what it is. When you're by yourself, whether you're in your car with road rage or you're at a computer screen, scream. And no one can see you. How you behave in those moments tells you who you really are. Because no one's there to judge you. You're not doing anything for anyone else. You're operating based on your own concept of right and wrong and morality and all that stuff.
Well, everybody listening and everybody sitting here in the privacy of their own home, car, what have you, occasionally have gotten really frustrated, slammed your fist against something and yelled, "God damn it, why in the fuck, stop it, God," and let yourself go.
Absolutely.
We are doing that now publicly, and we need to stop that. We do those things, historically, we do those things privately because it's embarrassing to do those things. And we call ourselves into check after our testosterone mellows out a little bit.
And especially with Facebook, I've posted things and said some things, and people have come to me and go, no, I think you're wrong about this. And I'd be really pissed off about it, and I'd go, yeah. And I'll delete it. Now, I don't really post too many political articles or political things because... Right. I don't want to, and if I do post it, I usually don't say much. I'm like, here, for your, you know, consideration, check it out.
Right.
And see what other people say, because I want to learn what other people think about it, and I don't want to pass judgment on something if I don't know everything about it already. So, yeah.
Do you, on your Facebook group of friends, do you have people that are like-minded to you, or do you have all types of people?
Yeah. I even have religious people. My family, some of my aunts are on there, and they're religious, but they just love me. They don't give a shit. And I try not to slam people as individuals in religion, in a vague way. I try not to slam people in a vague way. I try, you know, to attack the sickness and not the person if I can. Every once in a while, I go buck wild.
Hate
anyway.
The sin, not the sinner.
Yeah.
Let me ask you both a question, because you accept gay marriage, but what about marriage between one male and many females, or vice versa, legally?
Well, I'll tell you right now, I don't have a problem with plural marriage. I'm polyamorous.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with plural marriage. I think the idea that we outlawed polygamy is wrong. The government should not be telling people what they're doing in their own homes and in their own bedrooms. And so, yes, in my opinion, it does extend to plural marriage without question. I will say this.
Yes, as long as it's consensual.
As long as it's consensual. I will say this. Polygamy is not polyamory. Polygamy is a form of ownership of women, and that's really awful. But I don't think using the law to stop that process is proper. I don't think we should be outlawing it because that's what's going on. Obviously, it spills over into lives of people who are very equal-minded when it comes to whether the woman can have multiple partners or the man can have multiple partners. In polygamy, only the men get multiple partners. So that's not equality. That's the opposite of equality. We're going to take a quick break here. We won't be too long.
This is a quick one.
You're listening to Ardent Atheist, ardentatheist.com, and available on the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to a few of our listeners. Kentucky Atheist, Perry DeLeolia, Sasha Luna, Fag McGillicunty, Kyle Delaney, Deepox Schmegma, Mom, hi Mom,
hi Mom,
Cam West Kitty Fiddler, My Tits, Tech Dickle Difficulties, God, that was hard.
Tech Dickle Difficulties.
Whole Foods, SJW and a Prius, Double Plus Ungood, Muhammad Gave Me the Clap, Cage A, Molly Black, Ebola Cancer, Emery Fisted Me Long Time, Carl Barrick, Ed Onderick, Ryan's Greater Than Rob, Christianity's Hot Little Logic Holes, Margaret Walker, Arkansas's Hot Little Corn Holes, Bacon's Hot Little Church in Las Vegas, and Joe Swam. These were some of the people chatting on the Wall of Reason last week. Thanks for being there, everybody.
That's great.
They can name themselves whatever they want.
And so we have, right now we have 15 people
on the
talking.
Wall. And now back to Ardent Atheist. Hey! Nonsense you can believe it. We're talking with Rob Elk, Faraz Ozel, and Alan M. Gold.
Remember
thank you for being here,
earlier?
Guys.
Earlier? It's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You were talking.
And Mighty Mike T is on the wall.
Hey, Mighty Mike T.
Right now.
Glad to have you, sir. Very, very, very talented.
Also, FC Semen Stains is on the wall. Mm.
There's the names. Hey, you're giving away next week's list.
Oh, yeah.
Cut it out. All right, so anyway, that was my speech. I gave my speech. I hope that... does anybody have something to add any at all? Or okay. That's it. Just try and be gracious atheists. You're winning. You win this one. We don't have to be the dicks here. We won. And we won because the fact of the matter is the system works. It's just not fast, but it does tend to work. You know what I mean?
So this group named... it's a... group named E-Bible Fellowship. They posted an ad in a paper. I don't know what paper this is. but it says a strong likelihood that October 7, 2015 will be the end of the world. For more information, visit eBible
Don't give
Fellowship.
It out. Blah, blah, Don't blah, give blah, it blah. Out.
Okay, so they
no
made a video about it. They have a Facebook group. And here you go.
But the end of all things is at hand. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. God warned the whole world that Judgment Day would be May 21, 2011. The people of God performed their role of watchmen and blew the trumpet.
They blew
billboards
it.
Across the country and around the world announcing that May 21st is Judgment Day.
We're saying Judgment Day is May 21, 2011.
Many expected a physical judgment. Apparently, nothing happened physically.
And of course, nothing happened. The world is
not end. But the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Luke 17, verse 20. What happened was a devastating spiritual judgment.
Oh.
At the very time the world was celebrating their reprieve, God brought about the beginning of the final judgment of mankind. The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 2 through 3. God has ended salvation. He closed the door to heaven, just as he closed the door to Noah's Ark. The Bible proclaims the end of the world will likely be October 7th, 2015.
I love that. Likely. That's my favorite.
And
that's
you
my
know it's
thing.
True because of the scary music.
Wait, does it actually give a date? What does it say? What does it mean the Bible proclaims?
It doesn't give
They don't give an... They
any
don't
say that.
This whole video, and I'm cutting it short.
Yeah,
we
yeah,
are
yeah.
literally almost... we're shy of halfway through that
yeah, it's long.
Horrifically awful video.
Hilarious.
But that's it. They said that it was going to happen...
Likely.
Likely. No, they said that it was going to happen...
Oh, right. Uh-huh.
...in May 2011. Right?
Right.
And of course... we all went about our day as normal. And then now they're coming along and they're saying, oh, no, we were judged on that day.
Right,
they're
right.
admitting they got it wrong. They're saying, yeah, no, we missed this one little technical thing. We all just got judged. They're also this goes on to claim that the window of opportunity for becoming saved is gone. It's over.
You know,
yeah, none
too
of
late.
Us, so really, I'm going to propose orgy, everybody.
Yeah.
And then we kill
the
Heather?
The problem I have...
These are terrible
shut
pants,
up! So. The problem I have is it's before... Halloween. Like, I want to at least celebrate Halloween.
Heather
and,
has Halloween plans.
I do. I'm going traveling. I want Halloween.
Yeah.
So the world can't end before that. Damn it.
Where were you raised?
In Los Gatos, near San Jose.
Yeah.
Near Santa
and your family
near Santa
came
Cruz?
From?
From Pakistan.
Okay. So did you have the religion pushed at you when you were younger? Did you?
Yeah. I actually went to a private Muslim school from kindergarten through eighth grade.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you didn't know those existed, huh?
Wow. You could be president.
Yeah. not after this podcast.
Oh, no one will find this.
Right.
Yeah, no one listens to
no
this
one's
show.
Listening.
We're all doing the same thing.
I saw something. There was a statistic one time that they're the only group people are less likely to elect as a president other than... But the only group less than Muslim is atheists.
Yeah, yes. We're the ones.
We are, like, some of the most hated people on the planet.
That's so funny to me. Because that's what I was like,
yeah, and no. I've never cut anybody's head off.
Yeah, me
ever.
Either.
Ever.
Well,
anyone knows
verbally,
it.
I have. But
yeah, can do that. So, yeah, the reason I was asking is in the Muslim faith, is there any kind of end of world bullshit? Do you get that? And are there fringe groups that do that?
Right. I think that there is. There's definitely an end of day sort of predictions, Nostradamus, each kind of this will happen and this will happen and that will happen, you know. But there's not like a date. They're not, you know what I mean? They're not like November Thanksgiving Day of 2038.
Yeah.
The turkey will come alive and eat your dick. Like there's not this ridiculous sort of.
That would be awesome.
That would be fantastic. I would be like, this is hardcore.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah, no.
So there's not that, but there's definitely stuff like. The wars will break up. The seas will dry up. You know what I mean? There'll be wars all over. There'll be fires and earthquakes. And so there's a lot of people being like, see, all these natural disasters and global warming and the new ice age cometh. You know what I mean? So
right.
There's always people in every faith, I think, that are just, for some reason, really excited to tell us about how we're all about to die soon.
Now, do you think about religion? Or do you, I mean, like, is that part of your, like, you know, me, I deal with it every day. It's part of our thing.
It's part of our character and who we are and who we present.
It's kind of our business.
Do you think about it
or is it not something that's on your mind ever?
I think about like myself and my relation to this reality. Right. You know what I mean? And what is it? I definitely think about that. I'm like,
what about your parents? Are they religious?
Yeah, they're pretty religious. Mm. They're like moderate religious people. You know what I mean?
Do you have sisters?
Yeah, I have two older brothers, one older sister.
And are they?
No, they're like me.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Are they decrying the actions of ISIS like they ought to be?
Of course.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Actually, I don't want to have to put you in a camp or anything.
My mom wears a shirt to the grocery store that says, fuck ISIS.
Wow.
Are you joking?
Wow. Of course I'm joking.
Oh, I'm not happy.
She's very moderate.
Yeah, right. No, just a sweet lady.
You asked a comic if he's joking.
Yeah, right.
I was joking.
Well, that would be a very moderate.
Yeah, right.
My mom is very moderate Muslim. Very moderate.
They're both very.
She's a Jew.
She's such a moderate Muslim. I have an atheist friend. We just were talking about her today, who is an atheist, but she has pictures of herself in the hijab.
Because it's like.
Yeah, we got to find out what's going on. I think she came out of that belief system. I'm guessing
recently, maybe, but she's got, and they're recent kind of pictures. So yeah. I mean, I'm guessing, is it a cultural thing or like is she just being respectful?
She's probably being respectful to her parents and like community in that sense, because it is more cultural. Like, mom,
well, she's very disrespectful now because one of her pictures is her butt with atheist on it. I don't think she's being respectful to anybody
from one end, from just jumping from that happens too, though. You know what I mean? People if they're in one thing and in a box they're not happy with or something. They come out screaming.
You know what I mean?
So they're ready to really run to the other polarity as fast as possible.
Well, Heather started asking you, did your parents give you a lot of guff?
No, my parents are the best. They let me, I mean, they steered me in this direction. They put me in Muslim school. I was in Sunday school. And then I, you know what I mean? When I wanted to, I mean, I don't talk about this kind of stuff with them or anything. And I'm respectful towards all the stuff, you know, but. They have a decent idea that I don't really necessarily believe in all the specificities of what they believe in terms of the higher power, you know, but in terms of like in the beginning, for example, when you said ex-Muslim, I don't really like using that terminology even because for me, it's like I took the stuff that worked for me that established my foundation of ethics and concepts that worked for me. And then I got rid of the dogmatic stuff that didn't fit with my concept of rationale. And so be a good person.
You kept the food.
Be polite.
I kept the food. I can
cook you some of the best food in the world.
I'll cook you some chicken thick. Right,
I have
now.
No question. Yeah. No question.
Yeah.
Three times a week I eat that food. Yeah? I fucking love it. Yeah.
Oh man, you love it. Your butthole hates it though.
I dated a girl from India who taught me how to eat it with only one hand. You'd never use your right hand.
Yeah.
And no, I don't need silverware if I don't want it.
Right, exactly. You don't. But then your fingers will smell like it for like
a week.
Yeah, or like
high five, eight
hours.
Now you both smell like it.
Yeah. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, it's been. They're fine with it all, and you know what I mean? On a day-to-day basis, it's not like it comes up. So yeah. I think the more I learned about it and the more I was educated about it, it actually helped me kind of learn what I needed to learn about going whichever direction worked for me.
Yeah, you're a great example of the fact that there is moderate Muslims, and your parents aren't doing it by the book because they're supposed to be stoning you right now. That's
yeah.
the way it is. But there are many moderate Muslims.
Absolutely.
A lot of people complain that they're not loud enough against the extremism.
They're afraid.
That was why I was asking.
Even in
America. You never were in a situation where you not being, you calling yourself agnostic didn't mean you might die. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean,
you know that happens.
It's because you're here. If you're there,
we're one of the fortunate few.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, it depends on which country you're in. You know what I mean? There's a lot of different Muslim countries with a lot of different types of government and a lot of different levels.
Well, the only thing you hear about is the ones on the news where all the shit's happening.
The craziest people scream the loudest and make the most noise, right? You know what I mean? Normal people are just hanging out, having podcasts, and smoking a bowl later. Like, there's not... So that's the thing, too, when people are like, well, why aren't the moderate people screaming out? Like, what do you want? Do you want my 60-year-old parents to get on Twitter and start sending fuck yous to... Like, what do you want people that are lawyers and doctors and... They're just following their faith and going about their day. They're not... And wherever they are in the world, they're not, like... You know what I mean? Superheroes or crime fighters. Like, they're people that these other people who have lost, that are just going off the deep end in a completely different country that they don't even... You have to realize, even in the Muslim world, which is a strange word to even use, there's Muslim countries that they don't identify with each other. They fight with each other. They have racial slurs towards each other. They're not one thing. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it's like...
Can you teach us some of those racial slurs? Because I'm interested in that. All right. When we come back for the premium portion of the show, I'll have to learn some racial slurs. That's it for the free hour. This has been the free version of episode 178. Another show that went off without a hitch.
We miss you, Hitch.
We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. I want to thank our guests, Rob Elk, Faraz Ozell, and Alan M. Gold. I also want to thank my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson, and our video switcher, None of Your Business. Tune in next week when our guests will be...
Specific people.
And we'll be talking about...
Vague topics.
I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson, our theme music courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Travelin' Slam, and our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Groveling Winters.
Nice play on words. Where can people find you, Rob Elk?
You can find me, at the Pico Playhouse in December.
Twitter?
I am on Twitter. I'm going to activate that.
Okay, good.
Go
and
check
I'm on
out.
The Facebook.
On the Facebooks. Rob Elk, you can find him easily. Where can they find
Friend
you?
Friend me, I'll be there.
I'm in San Diego headlining the Madhouse Comedy Club September 17th, and I'll be at the Improv in Ontario all weekend with Owen Benjamin September 24th.
Twitter,
Faraz Ozell. That's Farazozell.
Do you have a Twitter account?
I don't have Twitter, but I'm 3.5 hours every night on Facebook.
Look for him on Facebook, ladies and gentlemen. He's not going to be hard to find. Alan M. Gold. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Can I plug a podcast?
Do it.
Sure. I'm starting a podcast called Infodels.
Oh, kick ass.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
So that's going to be out in 2 weeks.
Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.